Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. We're in the middle of some of the most important messages we're ever going to preach. Hallelujah. The prototype, pattern, blueprint, apostolic government. Glory to God, we're hot on the trail. Amen. We are hot on the trail. What God wants. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, if you're going to apply your faith, might as well apply your faith to the blueprint. Amen. You can exercise faith for a lot of things, but if you can identify what makes it happen, what made it happen, and set your faith upon that. Amen. As a corporate body, we set our faith upon that. Amen. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 2, we looked at Moses last week. Today, we're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, how the Father dealt with him, how the Father commissioned him, how the Father ordained him, what he carried, what God did for him, how God prepared him. Amen. So if you turn your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 41. We're going to look at him first when he was 12 years old. Amen. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Drop down to verse 45, because his parents went off and left him for 3 days. And they found out he wasn't with them, and they came back looking for him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, he's 12 years old. So listen up, kids. How many of you are 12 years old in here? Raise your hand. If you're 11, 12, or 13, raise your hand. That's you. He said they heard him, verse 47, and were astonished at his understanding and answers. The lawyers, the Pharisees, the doctors were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Now notice what he said. His mom came and said, "Where have you been?" Verse 49, she goes, "How is it you sought me? Did you not know that I would be about my Father's business?" So at the age of 12, he already knew who he was. He was already accumulated quite a bit of revelation. I don't know how much the Father had downloaded him by age 12, but he already knew he was, and he was astonishing the doctors, the lawyers, and the Pharisees in the temple at age 12. Say 12. Verse 50, they said they understood not the saying which spake. And he said, "How do you not know that I'd be about my Father's business?" He was already where he was supposed to be. He knew that that was his place, even at age 12. He knew that that was his place. He knew that that was his position. He knew who he was. Now notice what it said. Very important here. Don't miss this part. Verse 51. He went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto him. He was subject to them, even though he was the Son of the living God. Even though he could astound the lawyers and the Pharisees of his day. At the age of 12, he was still under subjection. He knew that it wasn't his time. He had to go back to Nazareth, where he'd grown up. And he had to become subject to authority. Even the Son of God was subject to authority. And notice what it says in verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. So God all along was revealing who he was. All along revealing wisdom. Increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Boy, that's a powerful verse. That he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But he had to wait. I've been saying this lately. The Lord did not perform one recorded miracle until the age of 30. But he knew he was the Son of God by the age of 12. He knew who he was. He knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to shift the dispensation. He knew the Father was going to anoint him. Listen, when it comes time to shift something, it takes a lot more to shift than it does to facilitate. When God gets ready to birth, shift, restore, renew, he's going to put something on you to get it done. He's going to perform his will. And there are certain things that you'll find threaded, even in the Lord Jesus Christ, Moses, Paul, Peter, the apostles. Almost every man of God had that same thread running through it. There's certain things God did for them when he got ready to shift. He just didn't fall out of the sky. He prepared their testimony. He prepared the platform for them. He prepared a public ordination for them. He prepared a public commission for them. Even the Son of God waited for his commission from the Father. He didn't go out. Now we all have the Holy Ghost. We are all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are called to lay hands on the sick. I get all that. We're called to operate in the sphere of authority that we're in. But there is a time in history when God gets ready to shift. And there is coming a paradigm shift in the body of Christ. He is going to shift the body of Christ into a true apostolic mantle. A true apostolic government. True apostolic power. It's not going to be faked. It's not going to be counterfeited. It's not going to have to be worked up. When it comes in, you're going to know it. You won't have to tell anybody. This is who I am. They're going to see it. They're going to know when that shift comes. You're going to know when it comes. We're all looking for that shift. We all know the greatest showdown in human history is right upon us now. When darkness comes to full age and light comes to full age. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon. Somebody ought to say amen in this place. You don't know the time of visitation that we're in right now. The hour that we are in right now. We are in an hour of human history. There's going to be showdown. Enemies will rise up. But so will God. His glory is going to rise. His power is going to rise. And what we've been doing, instead of playing church, building a church, building a much program, we've been seeking the face of God around here. What makes this work, Father? What is it are we lacking? We've had 50 repentance services, but we're still lacking something. What's inevitably going to cause it to come in? I mean, after praying 25,000 hours, you'd think heaven would have heard us already. We had to identify how this thing worked, and I identified a thread. And that thread's running from Old Testament to New Testament. Well, I didn't identify it. I'm not that smart, but the Holy Spirit did. He is very smart. I told Chuck the other day, I think the Holy Spirit's showing me how to go before the Father and tie him down. You know you can tie God down? You can only tie him down by his word. Who's got one of those constitutions in here? Anybody brought theirs? I started doing this. Father, do you approve? Father, do you approve? I didn't ask him if he approved of me. I didn't ask him if he approved of us. Do you approve of this? This is what I am presenting before you. Do you approve? I'm asking him every day, do you approve? I will call upon you and you will answer me. I'm going to keep asking him until he answers me. Do you approve? Because if I get his approval by bringing his word to him, then it's going to be done. Because once he approves, he'll find a vessel. Even if he didn't approve of me, he'll find somebody to get the job done. He'll call somebody else. If he can approve of this, living in the heart of somebody, dwelling, it's done. Do you approve? Father, I got to know, do you approve? I'm not going in my opinions. I'm not going in my person. I'm just bringing his word and put it right in front of him. Not that Bible. It is all Bible. But it's specifically orchestrated, and there was a blueprint forged and formed out of the Word of God. It was an architectural blueprint that's running from Old Testament to New Testament. And that thread has the same thing running in all the men of God. Even his son has it. He did the same way with his son. Do you approve? The intercessors hold it up to him. Because if God approves, he's going to tell us. Once he approves, he'll find it. My belief, he's going to find a body. And he said, yes, I approve corporately. Bam. And when it hits corporately, shaka booyah. Tie my bow tie, drive my Hyundai. Do you approve? Listen, when God approves of something, he's going to let the world know. When God approves, a shift, a paradigm shift in the ways and the thoughts and the manners in which religion or which the body of Christ operates. When he gets ready to do that, he's going to approve something. And when he does, all of heaven's going to come down and back it up. Go to Acts 2:22. Listen, religion not going to work anymore. Nice little church coming today not going to work anymore. There's going to be too much shaking going on. Nice religious circle's not going to do it anymore. It's going to have to be people sold out, the remnant. It'll be accounted to the Lord, for a people will serve him, and it'll be accounted to the Lord for a generation. He's going to get a remnant. He's been waiting on a remnant. He's going to get him a remnant, and God's going to account that remnant for a generation that's going to serve him and walk in his fullness and walk in what he's called to do. Do you approve? Even the Son of God had to be approved of the Father. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it. The Son of Man can do nothing of himself. He did not come like that. He was subject to the Father and subject to the Holy Spirit. And he had to have the Father's approval to get done what he was doing. He was not even going to shift. He was going to shift a dispensation, not just a generation, but a dispensation. You've got to have the approval of God upon you to do that. I'm not talking about the Father's love. The Father's love and his approval are two different things. We need God's approval. And it's quite all right to seek it. Amen. Acts 2:22. You men of Israel. This is Peter. Boy, he got bold. Whole different Peter when the Holy Ghost come upon him under a commission. I mean, you can be weak one day when a commission God comes upon you, and the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you got an eyewitness. Something will happen to you. You get bald all of a sudden. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved. Say approved. Approved of God. Among you, how did he approve him? By miracles, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Now, that's not the miracle, signs, wonders you understand in church services that operate by a gift realm. That we have nice, wonderful, powerful service. This is a whole different type. These kind of miracles will shake the fabric of society. The kind of demonstration that the Holy Spirit operates will shake the fabric of society. Oh, hallelujah. It's an approval of heaven with power and glory. It shakes the foundation of everything. You cannot shift without power. Raw power. Resurrection power to shift the body of Christ will require an approving power. They wouldn't have never listened to him saying, I am the Son of God, without that power. Go to John 10. This is a powerful verse. Verse 36. Say you of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemy, because I said I am the Son of God? He came in and said, I am the Son of God. The God you serve, he's my Father. The God you serve, I've been sent from him. The God you serve, he even said, I'm going to show it to you in a minute, I've seen him. You haven't seen him. But I've seen him. He said, I have come from him. He sent me. And I am the only way, the truth, and the life. And if you're going to get to know him, you're going to have to come on through me. You're going to have to continue in my word. And my word will set you free and bring you in. See, they were God's spokespersons. But God was going to shift the dispensation. It was a whole other dispensation. That's why we'll see in a minute his ordination. He comes and audibly speaks, this is my beloved son. This is my new heir. This is the appointed heir from above. Not since the days of Adam have I an appointed an heir like this one. And who I am going to bring it all back to him. And he's going to be the only way to me. Jesus said, my doctrine's not mine. My doctrine's not mine. I didn't come speaking my own words. I only speak what I hear my Father say. I don't come to represent myself. I'm representing him because he sent me. I know him. You say you know him, but I've been sent from him. And I am the Son of God. Boy, they had a problem with that. The world religions, that one right next door has a problem. They serve the God of Allah. They believe the God of Abraham is their God. They have a problem when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to him. You think your theological argument convinced them? They are already fasting a whole lot more than we are. They're already praying at 3 o'clock in the morning and filling a parking lot. What would it take to get the people of God out at 3 o'clock in the morning? You think you're going to convince them? No more than Jesus would have been convinced the world he lived in that he was the Son of God unless the Father approved. And when the God approved, guess what? Power showed up. Notice what he says, John 10. Love this verse. He said, you say that I blaspheme because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Say it. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Wow! Who can preach the gospel like that? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works. Say, believe the works. Believe the works. Believe the works. Believe the works. That wasn't just little gift from power. That was demonstration. That was the kind of power. Shake the world. Nicodemus came upon him and said, Master, we have a real problem. We have a real problem. We don't understand your message. We don't understand your speech, but this we know, no man can do what you do unless he's sent from God. No man can do these miracles. Here's the problem. We don't understand what you're saying, but we know God sent you. Everything you say is causing us problems. Everything you're doing is causing us. You're upsetting the apple cart. You're upsetting the religion. There's a paradigm shift taking place. we like the things the way they were, but it's not what you're saying, it's these miracles. We know you've been sent from God. Because no man can do this. He goes, that's right. And if you cannot believe what I say to you, the message the Father sent, then believe the works, for they do testify of me. Pointed him to the power. How many of us can do that? How many could walk? I'm just going to use them for next door. Walk up to them and open your Bible to them. And said, now this is, he, look, right here, he's the only way to you, the one you say is God. Them are fighting words. But what if you said, if you cannot believe what I say to you, then believe this right here. And a paraplegic get up right in front of them. See, their God can't do that. Blind eyes open, running out. See, blind, deaf ears, running out the building. I'm healed, running out. See, if Uncle Joe is on the deathbed, they're not going to care anymore. It's a whole other religion. That comes by approval from heaven. Notice this, since we're in John, might as well just slide down to John 11. So there was an approving power. There was an approving glory. There was an approving fullness. John 11, verse 47. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council. And said, what do we do? What do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. He just raised Lazarus from the dead, and a lot of people believed on him. The hardcore ones that would not believe any other way when they saw Lazarus raised from the dead. I appreciate what you're saying, but I'm going over here. You know the chief priests come in when they raised him from the dead? They came in, you know what they did? Well, we're going to have to put Lazarus to death also. How dumb can you get and still breathe? They counseled among themselves. We're going to have to put this man that raised him from the dead. We're going to have to take him out. We're going to have to take the one that was raised from the dead out. Did anyone ever scratch their head and just think a minute? You're going to put to death a man that just raised from the dead? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you know those people waving those palm branches? That whole crowd that came out to welcome the Lord in? The Bible says not only were there to welcome him in, but they wanted to come see him who was raised from the dead. Start raising the dead, you'll get a crowd real fast. That's almost foreign right now in the body of Christ. Raising the dead. You know, raise the dead, you got to go down with David Hogan down in Central America. He knows how to do it down there. Amazing that stuff doesn't work in the American gospel church. Well, we got it. We can say it. We can speak it. We can present it. We're good. We're good at it. See, we're good. We just don't have it. When it comes time, it's a cloud. Looks good. God, it's going to rain. Look at that cloud. Here it comes. Look at it. Finally, we're going to get some rain. It's a cloud without water. Looked like it was about to produce. Looked so good. But then when all the smoke in the mirror faded away, when all the personalities faded away, it just came back to being a cloud. So Peter said, a cloud without water couldn't produce. In that same chapter, he said, my brethren, you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. So what are we going to do? This man doeth many miracles. See, the miracles is what got the attention. God knew that. Listen, you're going to shift something, there's going to have to be power. How do we get the power? How do we get the power? Notice what they said, what the real problem was. Verse 48, if we let him alone, if we don't do something about him right now. John 11, verse 48. All men will believe on him. Did you hear that? If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. We're going to lose all our control. We're going to lose our money. We're going to lose our buildings. We're going to lose our people if we don't do something about this guy. Because it's not what he's saying, it's what he's doing. The problem is we can't shut him up because these miracles, they're the ones that are speaking. When he stood in front of the nobleman of Capernaum, he said, first thing he said to him, he said, oh, Lord, come and let my son die. He's at the point of death. First thing the Lord said, unless you see signs, miracles, and wonders, you will nowise believe. There is just a sector of people that's going to live their life the way they're going to live it. There are sectors of religion that are going to keep doing things the way they do it until you show them a God that's much bigger than what they think. Until they're a God of demonstration. That's what everybody's after. Where is the God of Elijah? Elijah come out there. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He smote that river and there he was. Hoot, there it is. Smote the water and it peels back. You know you got something. Smote the water and nothing happens. You better go back to the drawing board. You haven't been approved yet. How many of you want to be approved? We know he had the power. Nobody can discount that. Amen. Let's see how he got it. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Now, the Lord was going to pay the price at the cross for this new dispensation. He was going to pay the price for this. Amen. But he had to introduce it before the cross. He had to be able to introduce this new dispensation 3.5 years before the cross. So he had to have authority to begin speaking a dispensation that he hadn't paid the price yet. Because legally, he wasn't going to be able to release this dispensation until after the price was paid. Amen? However, God designed a way for him to legally introduce it 3.5 years before that price was actually paid. So he could come and speak and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he came to the River Jordan and John recognized him. He said, Master, I'm the one who needs to be baptized of you. He said, No. Today we must fulfill all righteousness. Today I have to go under. Today I am carrying the Adamic race, the race of Adam. I'm representing the old and the new. There's not another day like this in human history. Because when I go under, the old goes under. When I come up, the new is going to be established. And when I go under today, there is no turning back, John. When I go under today legally, I'm going to die. Even though I'm going to die 3.5 years, I die today. And there is no turning back. There was no way once the Son of God submitted to that baptism that he was not going to pay the price. There was no way he could back out at that point because legally the Father declared him dead that day. Legally, the Father declared the price was paid that day. And when he was submerged, the old man was submerged. The whole Adamic race was submerged. The whole old was submerged. The Old Testament was submerged. When he was raised from the dead, When he came out of that water, see, he was submerged into a baptism. He had to go all the way under, no sprinkling here. When he come up out of there, things started happening. He come up, God said, it's done. Price has been paid legally. Price has been paid. Holy Ghost fell. God speaks audibly out of heaven. All those people around to hear the audible voice, and the Father confirms the Son of the living God. That day, his mantle was confirmed. That day, his life was confirmed. That day, God said, I approve. This is my, somebody say amen in this place. I approve this day. This is, I have no idea what that voice sounded like. But I guarantee it shook. It reverberated. Audible voice of heaven. This is my beloved son. God commissions him that day. he gets the commission of the Father. Son of God waited 30 years for that commission. How would you like to be the Son of God carrying that dispensation and watch your relatives die in the city of Nazareth and not be able to do anything for them? How many relatives did he have to watch die before his commission? How many times did he go into the temple and have to listen to them and know, you're not speaking the Father right now? I tell you, to walk into church and say, that is not what God is saying. I am carrying what God is saying. It's up inside of me. I have the mind and the heart of the Father. I know what he's about to say. What about the age of 28, 29? Walking in and listening to that. Knowing that God's about to shift it and he had to subject himself. It's his manner to go into the temple. He had to read. He came into the temple and he read. It was his manner to do that. And listen to people. How long do we have to listen to clouds without water? How long do we have to go and do this? When we're carrying something that's going to change the world. He knew it was going to change the world. He knew it was going to shake the fabric of society. He knew it. But he had to wait for the Father to ordain him. Commissioned from above. The Father publicly commissioned him with an audible voice, and the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Hey, when you get that, all of heaven's going to back you now. The Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. Went into the wilderness, and he come up out of the wilderness. Walked right back into that temple that he had been speaking in all of his life. Every day of his life, without power, as he was accustomed to read from the law, the Bible said. Walked in there, he says, oh man, there's something else on him now. There's something else. He was now a commissioned man sent from heaven above. Walked up into that temple. Opened the book of Isaiah. Said, this day, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. To heal the broken heart. To set at liberty the bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This day they opened the eyes of the blind. The Spirit's on me. And he closed the book and they fastened their eyes upon him because that was not the same man they saw reading last week. He was another man. He was a commissioned man and there was a Holy Ghost was upon him ready to demonstrate. He said, this day, this scripture, it's been fulfilled in your ears. It's on me. I've been waiting a lot longer than you have. Man, you think they were saying, hallelujah. First, is this not the carpenter's son? Careful, get too familiar. When God changes another man, he'll change you right in front of him. He'll transform you right in front of him. Careful you don't identify who they were. When you go through a commission, you're not who you were. You're who you is. Somebody shout hallelujah. You shift. You change because something's on you to do what you could not do. They took him to the brow of the hill. That was there. What? This day, that scripture's fulfilled in you? Grab him, boys. We're throwing him off the cliff. Man, I need this anointing he had. I need it. Enrique, he passed right through the crowd. That didn't happen with me. When they threw me off, man, I got trampled. Anybody ever been trampled? I want that anointing to pass through the crowd. That's not the only time he did that. He did that quite often. When they came at him, he passed right through. God, give me that anointing. I've been trampled before. Don't like that one. The Bible says he had to shift and move to Capernaum. He up and moved. Sometimes you got to move out of familiarity. When that commission comes, sometimes it'll make you move out of familiarity. If they can't identify who you are now and keep identifying who you were, there are people that still look at on and I like who we were 20 years ago. They still talk about us like we're still, I'm not that person anymore. My God, man, you can't walk with God. and not be changed. They still talk. They still see you the same way. Those poor, pitiful, little mentalities. It's just pitiful, isn't it? How many people still see you the way you were 15 years ago? Get around them, you can tell they're still looking at you. I'm like, that's just pitiful. Do you have any idea? Hey, listen, when the commission comes, you don't have to tell them. God going to show up. God going to show up. See, that's the beautiful thing about being commissioned. He's going to send you with a message. It's like he sent the Lord with a doctrine and a message. But if they can't hear what you say, they're going to have to see what the Holy Spirit does. And boy, I'm telling you, that's when it's going to get done. That's when it's going to shake, rattle, and roll. Hebrews 3:1 says he's the apostle and high priest of our confession. Pastor Chuck and I were talking about who is the first apostle. Who is the first sent one? The Lord Jesus. He's commissioned from above. He was prepared. Now I want you to see something. This is awesome. Go to John chapter 7. I'm going to walk you through John just for a minute. Well, you can't call yourself. That is correct. You are correct about that. But you sure can't get in the position to be chosen. You can't choose yourself, but you can get in position to be chosen. I don't believe that. Okay, then go to Isaiah chapter 6. Go to Isaiah 6. Then we'll go to John and close it up in John. Since you don't believe you can be positioned for a commission from above, everyone say, do you approve? Do you approve? Don't go up in there in yourself and ask God if he approves. You might have to go through 100 days of fire. So come back, send him through the fire and check back with him in 100 days. I'm looking for God to approve of his word, his blueprint. What's his blueprint? I'm telling it to you right now. He commissions. He gives the eyewitness. He gives the doctrine. He gives the Holy Ghost. He gives the demonstration. And that's how he shifts a nation. That's how he'll shift whole paradigm shifts. He can shift a generation. Do you approve? Might as well get used to that. Listen, when God approves, you're going to know it. And everybody else is going to know it. When you show up, it's not you showing up. The Holy Ghost is going to show up with you. He's going to do things that are not being done. He's going to demonstrate things you haven't seen in maybe 40 years. It'd be a whole lot easier to preach the gospel when you have a paraplegic that's been there for 40 years that has survived 10,000 prayer lines. They don't even bring them anymore. And all of a sudden, snap, crackle, pop, 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 pop. They get up in front of everybody and start running around the building. A lot easier to preach the gospel like that. The Bible says they were astonished with great astonishment. Everybody wants this, but how is it going to come? That's the question of the day. Amen? Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Say, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Isaiah was positioned high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having six wings. Two covered his face, two covered his feet, two did fly. One cried unto another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. For the whole earth is filled with his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. That was glory. Then said, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King. My eyes have seen the King. Say, my eyes has seen. He gets the eyewitness. He's right there. He's looking at him. Then God says something most extraordinary. Who among you that's positioned? Who among you in this room will go for us? Who will go? God's asking who will go. Who wants to go? I'm looking for somebody to approve. Who will go? God's saying it today. He's saying it for this generation. He's saying it in this hour. Who will go? Who will get in position? Don't tell me God's not looking for somebody to sin. His eyes go to and fro looking for somebody. A nation to show himself strong in the behalf of. He's looking for something. He's looking. What is he looking for? Do you approve? Do you approve? I know what you're looking for. I've seen it in Moses. I've seen it in the Son of God himself. I've seen it in Paul. I've seen it in Peter. I've seen it in the apostles. They all were given the exact same things. I see it in Isaiah. Who will go and speak to these people? I'll give you doctrine. I'll set my words in your mouth. Go with the eyewitness. Go as a commissioned people. Who will go? Do you approve, Father? If he approves, he's going to start sending somebody. The question is, do you have it in your heart? God himself asking. I believe right now on the throne of God, the same seraphims are flying around. Worship the great God Jehovah. They're flying around waiting. Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? Who will get in position? Who will see? Who will know? Who will understand? Does anybody understand the way I do it? Jesus himself showed up. He said, my doctrine is not my own. It was given to me from him that sent me. Given a doctrine from the Father. Approved of the Father by signs, miracles, and wonders. Sent from the Father. Ordained of the Father. Commissioned of the Father. And finally, given one of the greatest keys given to any man, Old Testament and New, even the Son of God, the eyewitness. I'll close with this. Turn in your Bibles. I'm stirred up. John 6. Who will go? Who will go? What are you going to go with? Get equipped. Find out what it is you're going to go with. What did Moses go with? He went with signs, miracles, and wonders. He went with an eyewitness, and he went with a message. And he went as an ordained man. So did the Lord Jesus Christ. So did the Apostle Paul. So did Peter. So did the apostles. They all had the same thing. They were eyewitnesses. They were given a doctrine that was from above. They were commissioned. And they were given the Holy Spirit to demonstrate that commission. The Holy Spirit broke the back of Pharaoh and delivered an entire nation. Moses could have never done that going with doctrine only. Paul said, my gospel is not word only, but in demonstration and power, that your faith should rest in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. We'll close with this. John chapter 6, verse 45. As it is written in the prophets, they shall be all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. He said, you haven't seen him. I have. I've been sent from him. I come as an eyewitness of the Father. My doctrine's not my own, John 5, but him that sent me. He gave me the doctrine. And if you cannot believe what I say to you, that I've been sent from him, that I've seen him, and I am the only way to him, then believe these works. For that is expressly why they're upon me. So that you may know that kind of gospel is returning. Did he not do the same thing with Pharaoh when Moses went unto Pharaoh? He said, let my people go. He goes, who is this God you're talking about? Take away their mud. Let them build bricks with straw only. Take away. Go away from me. God said, go back, Moses. Go back. We're just getting started. You think you would have convinced Pharaoh by just saying it? By just preaching it? He said, I'll do signs. I'll do wonders. And I'll do miracles. And when I'm done, he will surely let you go. And not only he'll let you go, he's going to let you go with all their wealth too. Who will go? Who will be in position? Do you prove, Father? Do you prove